Orleans aftermath. On Jack Callahan, Fox News, damage from what was a Category 4 hurricane at landfall still being assessed.
Power outages, stranded people, and damaged homes and businesses are expected to be tallied as first responders begin to move through Florida's Gulf Coast towns and cities from Fort Myers up to north of Tampa Bay, all which took the brunt of wind and storm surge over many hours. Helene's official landfall, where its eye came ashore, was south of the town of Perry in the state's Big Bend region.
Fox's Evan Brown, while the wind gusts peaked at 160 miles an hour, for many, flooding is the biggest problem.
I had about 2 feet of water in my entire neighborhood, and it was fresh water, which means the water had nowhere to go.
A man in Tampa, where there have been scores of high water rescues, flash flood warnings stretch from northern Florida to western North Carolina. The National Weather Service warning of possible catastrophic flooding. There have been at least 6 deaths blamed on the storm. Strong words from Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking to the United Nations General Assembly this morning.
I have a message for the tyrants of Tehran. If you strike us, we will strike you.
Netanyahu said Israel continues to seek peace but must defend itself. Federal grand jury has reportedly indicted several Iranians, charging them with hacking into and stealing information from the Trump campaign. Those indictments still under seal. Ukraine's President Zelensky is meeting in New York at this hour with former President Trump, telling him,
I think we have common view that the war in Ukraine has to be stopped and Putin can't win. And Ukrainians have to prevail, and I want to discuss with you the details of our plan.
The former president says he believes he can bring the Russian invasion to a quick end should he be reelected. Vice President Kamala Harris is making for the southern border for the first time in her presidential campaign today. America is listening to Fox News.
Hey guys, Donald Trump Jr. here with urgent news. The world's central banks are making unprecedented moves, and it's time to pay attention. In 2022 and 2023, they bought more gold than ever before. And now in 2024, the trend is accelerating. Why? Because central banks have lost faith in the dollar. And in these uncertain times, gold is the ultimate safe haven. If you too are worried about the dollar, I urge you to take similar action by diversifying your IRA or 401k into gold with my trusted friends at Birch Gold Group. To see how it works, get your free info kit on gold IRAs by texting the word PROTECT to 989898. I trust Birch Gold. They provide an easy process to roll over your 401k or IRA into gold without losing your tax-advantaged status. So text PROTECT to 989898. That's PROTECT to the number 989898 to get your free info kit on gold IRAs from Birch Gold.
Message and data rates.
Broadcasting Americanism from the York Heating and Air Conditioning and ACYuma.com studios. 560 KBLU.
Good morning. From the News 11 Information Desk, I'm Scott Gross. Preventing rumors and threats from spreading. The Gadsden Elementary School District hosted a security forum to address the social media threats that are happening around Yuma County and statewide. School officials and law enforcement asked parents and students to report, not to repost any school threats, so they can properly be investigated. A vigil at the Yuma Main Library honoring the memory and lives of murder victims across the country and recognizing the impact on family and loved ones. The 11th annual National Day of Remembrance for Murder Victims provides an opportunity to honor the memories of those whose lives were lost because of violence. And how are you doing? September marks Self-Care Awareness Month, a time to recognize the importance of prioritizing mental health and well-being. Communities and schools across Yuma are spreading the message about taking time to focus on self-care. I'm Scott Gross.
We've got an excessive heat warning in effect now through Tuesday. Up next week, 107 and sunny today, 76 tonight. Sunny and 108 on Saturday, 77 Saturday night. Sunny and 106 on Sunday, 74 Sunday night.
Investment advisory services offered through CWM, LLC, and SEC Registered Investment Advisor. Welcome to Money Talk with Yuma Investment Group's Tom Rush, founder, wealth advisor, and George Davis Sr. Wealth Advisor.
Oh,
All right. Good morning, Yuma. This is Adrian Alderon, KBLU. This is Money Talk. I'm here with Stan Gourley. He is our local master representative for the organization NARF. We are going to be doing the fun federal show today. So welcome, Stan. Good to have you here.
Thank you for the opportunity. Appreciate it.
Anytime you want, buddy. We're always happy to talk federal stuff. The reason being, especially in Yuma, we have a lot of federal employees. We've got a couple of major bases here. And the bases are just kind of a little bit of the tip of the iceberg. We've got USDA workers. We've got all kinds of other federal employees that work here that, you know, again, are not necessarily military or in one of the military bases. So a lot of this stuff applies to our town. This is a great farming town. Obviously, USDA is a big deal here. What I want to do first is I want you to introduce NARF and tell people about it, because I think this is a great organization that doesn't maybe have as much participation as it should because of the value that you guys add.
Well, NARF stands for National Active Retired Federal Employees, and it's open to all federal employees across the nation. They are not a union in the traditional sense. We don't talk anything about pay or any of those workplace issues. Our interest is strictly in those benefits that federal employees have in retirement. And in the change that was made to the military retirement system back in, I think, what, January of 19 or 20, 21, somewhere, mm-hmm. where they went to the blended retirement system, mm-hmm. all military employees under that new system, a portion of their pay can go to the Thrift Savings Plan, the TSP, which traditionally was either CSRS involuntary or in FERS as mandatory for their retirement. Mm-hmm. And the military does not really share that information very well. And so we have a lot of information about TSP, the age that you can't touch that TSP dollar without penalty until 59 and a half, whether you're military or civilian. It doesn't make any difference. You're stuck with that. Mm-hmm. Now, that 59 and a half also applies to everybody in traditional IRAs that you might purchase from investment broker or something like that.
Roth IRAs, IRAs, 401ks.
Yep. The primary thing here in Yuma, as far as I'm concerned and our chapter is concerned, is gaining information of interest to the employees. We meet January 1st, Monday of October through May. And during that first Monday, we always try and have a different speaker. Right now, George is scheduled from your office, mm-hmm. is scheduled to come talk to us about Social Security issues in, I believe, the November timeframe.
Sounds right.
We have WACOG is bringing a specialist over, Randall Adams, on Medicare issues starting on the 7th of October. Then we've got some security things, spam and scam, and we're going to have a briefing on AI issues later on in the year. So we have a lot of different subjects that we present to our active members that show up at the luncheon at the Golden Corral one Monday every month, the first Monday of the month.
And there's no cost for that. Anybody can come to it and
anybody can come
to it. I can go.
Yes. I think you could probably go.
If it's a subject that would pertain to you, you know, like taking care of a little dog, stuff like that.
Yeah, something like that.
So the one thing that I would kind of – I'm a big analogy guy. Anybody who works with me knows that I do that. And so the way I would kind of say it and to give just a little bit of background, I'm what's called a federal retirement consultant. I'm actually the only one in Southern Arizona. Very high-level test. I had to memorize CSRS, CSRS offset. All the really fun things, but the thing that I would kind of say in that vein is that there is so much to know, and I think that's why there aren't more federal retirement consultants, because there's so much to know about federal retirement in the fact that, you know, somebody who works as a Border Patrol agent has a different formula than somebody who works as an air traffic controller.
Oh, well, be careful. When you're talking about an agent, that's a guy in a uniform wearing a badge carrying a gun.
Sure.
Yes, you're absolutely right. His is different. But that guy twisting the wrench, taking care of the pickup truck, mm-hmm. he's under my system.
Yeah, that's right.
So it varies.
Yeah, that's right. And so it's so hard to know exactly where you stand in it. And one of the things that, that the government does is they have all the information available. You just have to know where to go find it. Much in the way, to the analogy, like the IRS. All the information is available, right? You just
got
to know where
to
find it, right? Yeah, it's 2,000 pages. You got to know where to find it. So what NARF does is it makes that easier. It's like having a, you know, a good, reliable tax accountant or something to that effect where you come to the meetings. They produce a really excellent magazine that comes out every month. And in this magazine, you'd be amazed at the high-level items that it touches. I mean, there's a lot of things in there where I read it because I get it every month. You know, you can read it, and there's so many things in there about tax situations, how, you know, when to take federal benefits, right? How you can miss out on a month of payments by taking it on the wrong day of the month. And so many complications to it. And that's what NARF is all about. It's not an expensive thing to get the magazine. I think it's $30 a year or $40 a year or something like that.
Yeah, I believe it's like $40 a year right now, and then there's like a $5 a year charge for our chapter. So mm-hmm. Our chapter has a very, very small treasury. But the magazine you're talking about has a whole section, what we call the Q&A, questions and answers, which is the best research I've ever seen. In the old days, federal employees could go down to the civilian personnel office. They don't exist anymore. Now it's all online. Mm-hmm. Whatever information you get, you're going to get from a government agent. There are things they will not share because they're not allowed to share them. If you want unbiased information, NARF is the primary unbiased source. Now that the UM Investment Group has somebody trained in that, just like in Social Security, there's nobody in Yuma anymore to give you a straight issue mm-hmm. on Social Security. I rely on George for all of that mm-hmm. in your office
yep.
because you can't go to the Social Security office.
Yep.
Last time my wife and I went to the Social Security office, they wouldn't even let us in the door. Man. They came to the door, opened it a little bit, said you have to schedule an appointment.
Yeah, that's right.
And then the appointment is on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it, just the same vein as that, right? Social Security, very complicated item. Not only am I an FRC, but I'm also a CFP, Certified Financial Planner. So we understand that Social Security and those decisions sometimes are irreversible, right? You take one option versus another option, and then you're stuck with that option. It's very difficult to undo and sometimes costly if you have to undo it. So making that decision right the first time is so important, and that's one of the things that, you know, being a participant in NARF, reading the magazine, digging deeper into the information is always so helpful. Financial planning-wise, we get into a lot of different – federal employees have a little bit different situation, and I would say this as the owner, one of the owners of the firm and the CFP, I'm in charge of all of the financial plans for the entire firm. And one thing that I see from federal employees is a very unique situation. Number one, because they all have a pension, at least at this point, right? Maybe someday, 50, 100 years down the road, that might not be the case. But as of right now, everybody who works for the federal government has a pension. Whether it's CSRS, CSRS offset, FERS, makes a big difference in how much they're going to get. Because they have that income and they have Social Security, some, you know, do not. Again, there was a little window in there where some do not, and they've been contributing to thrift savings for usually most of their career, a lot of the federal employees have a very sturdy financial plan because most of it, I always break it down very simplistically, right? It's income minus expenses amortized with inflation over time. And whatever the difference is what you have to take out of your nest egg, your thrift saving, your Roth IRA, your IRA. But there's a lot of planning items in there where, you know, again, sometimes you need advice, you need a question answered. And unfortunately, when you call the back office at Thrift Savings, if you say, hey, should I be in C fund or S fund? They'll say, well, here's the information on the two, but they're not going to make a recommendation on it. So it's always important to have somebody that knows what they're doing, right? Have a stand that you can bounce questions off of with NARF. Have someone like us where you can come in and say, does this allocation work for me? Are my beneficiaries set up correctly? We're going to actually get into beneficiaries here in the next break or after the first break about how those can be very different, held very differently between the two. Again, those when to take your pension is a huge part of it. depending on whether you have a spouse or not, right? How do you apply the spousal benefit to it? Arizona is a community property state, so you know you always have to. The spouse is always a part of all of the different things. Some states are not. So those are all important things. And again, there are a lot of those items in the NARF magazine. There's a lot of different resources that are available, but a lot of them are outside of, say, OPM.
I think within the federal system, the TSP, which is technically called the Thrift Savings Plan, is the retirement system on top of an annuity system. Mm-hmm. But for somebody working at Walmart, I believe they have a 401k, or they could have their own personal account, an IRA or a Roth IRA.
Yeah.
So there's different accounts depending on who you work for with different names, slightly different rules, but there's some universal rules that we're going to talk about, particularly for beneficiaries.
And that's a great lead into our next segment. We're going to take a break right now. This is 560 AM KBLU. You are on Money Talk.
Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, they believe they manage money for their clients differently from many other advisors in Yuma. Their way works in close alignment with their clients' goals. Yuma Investment Group is a fiduciary, obligated to put clients first. It's the highest standard for a financial advisor. When it comes to helping clients pursue a comfortable retirement, they're clearly different. Visit YumaInvestmentGroup.com and find out why investors switch to them. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
All right, welcome back, Yuma. We are on the Fun Federal Show. This is 560 AM KBLU Money Talk. I am Adrian Elder, our certified financial planner and federal retirement consultant for the office, sitting here with Stan Gourley, who's come to us to talk about all things federal retirement today. So in our last segment, we kind of ended up talking about the differences between or the fact that there are different types of accounts that are out there. Thrift Savings Plan is a qualified retirement plan. It's only available through the federal government. But there's other things that are out there, things like 401ks, IRAs, Roth IRAs. And I know that, Stan, you have some things you kind of wanted to get into as far as how to transition some of those things, the taxation that's involved. So I'll let you kind of jump in and take off with what you wanted to go through there.
Well, I think the initial thing that I personally had challenges with when I was a federal active employee, and then in retirement, I started realizing that there's a lot of elements within that was never shared with me as an employee. And when I talked to the source people in those days, human resources and stuff, they didn't really understand it because they were not retirees. Mm-hmm. So they weren't impacted by it, but they would be when they do retire. To start with, a TSP is yours until you retire, but you have access to it without penalties at 59 and a half. That's the same thing with traditional IRAs on the outside that you might have available through an investment broker or through your 401k. It just varies. But the big thing about TSP is the only person that's a direct rollover. In other words, you fill out a piece of paper called a rollover where you can move your funds to a beneficiary is your spouse. That's somebody that you are legally married to. Anybody else is an other type of primary beneficiary, and they don't have anywhere near the same benefits as your spouse. So if you are a federal employee or a retired federal employee, and you and your spouse are on the way to Phoenix and don't make it past Gila Bend, and now all of your funds would go to your beneficiary, they are not in the direct line like your wife is. Now the problems start. Your wife is the direct line. Your daughter, your son, your grandson is not a direct line. They become a designated beneficiary, but they cannot roll over your money. What that rollover means is that I can move my TSP money, or my estate can move, my wife can move my TSP money to the civilian side. But your beneficiaries, other than your spouse, cannot stay in TSP. They have to move the money. Consequently, when they move the money, TSP sends them a check. Now, all kinds of stuff happen. One is that TSP will take a minimum of 20% off the top of your money. Then that money becomes your beneficiary's money. Then they have to do something with it. If they don't put it in a bank, in an IRA, they can't roll it over. Then all of a sudden, they're going to have this lump sum check that becomes ordinary income. Mm. If you funnel that money through a trust, that ordinary income rate, which for many of us is between around 20-some percent.
Yeah.
If you put it through a trust, it's now 30-some percent. Mm-hmm. So you're going to lose 10% of your money if you do it the wrong way. Here's an example. One of the guys came to me, yeah, I got TSP money. Okay, who are you going to leave it to? Well, I'm going to leave it to my mom, who's going to raise my kids. I said, so your mom is not your spouse. Well, he got offended, upset, started yelling at me. Yeah, my mom is not my spouse. I said, you're not listening to me. Mm-hmm. Your mom is not your spouse. You cannot roll over to your mom. The minute you roll money over to your mom, and in his case, at that time, he had $800,000. He was going to roll that money over to his grandma with his instructions to her to raise his three kids. Well, that's a good idea. Mm-hmm. But 20% disappears, goes to your taxes. So now all of a sudden he's got, what, $640,000 that went to his mom. But now his mom has a tax burden of $640,000, and she's a retired school teacher. Is she going to afford the taxes in 1 year at what? What's the tax rate for $640,000 on an annual income?
You'd be around 34%.
So now all of a sudden that $640,000 is down around $320,000. Now, did he intend to give his mom $320,000 to raise his three kids? No. He thought he was going to move $800,000 to raise his three kids. It's not going to happen. There's ways of doing it, but what he had set up would not do what he wanted it to do. Mm-hmm. That's the problem with the beneficiaries on the federal side.
One of the things they do, and this is something I've actually heard from, you know, when somebody does call in and say, hey, I want to update my beneficiaries, the back office, whatever you want to call it, OPM or however you want to say it, depending, I guess, where you work. But they do say, well, you can use, you know, a certain type of trust as a contingent beneficiary, but they don't talk anything about the taxes that apply to it, right? And so that's actually something that's changed. And that's where it's really important to have a financial plan, to have, you know, those core group of people, a tax strategist, which is what, you know, I would consider myself, your CFP, your CPA, all the different things that can help you coordinate, because the tax laws change all the time. If the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act sunsets in 2025, which every piece of software we use says it will, right, does that then change that trust taxation issue? Does it change back to the old beneficiary IRA system? I don't believe that it will. I think you're still going to have what, you know, under all circumstances is a worse beneficiary system for IRAs, right? So what it used to be was that a beneficiary, other than, again, your spouse, could take your IRA and put it into a beneficiary IRA, and they could stretch it over the entire course of their life, right? They'd still have to take the required minimum distributions, but it wasn't so burdensome. Now, let's just use that same example. Let's say that it, you know, let's say it's a $500,000 thrift savings plan that they end up with in the rollover. They have to take $50,000 each year for the next 10 years and get taxed on that $50,000. It's added to their income. If it pushes into a higher tax bracket, it's taxed at that tax bracket. And in the 10th year, if the account grew that whole time and now there's still $120,000 left over in that 10th year, they have to take out the entire amount and get taxed on it, right? And so it's a much less advantageous system. And I think the idea to it, if you ask me, was that, you know, a retiree who maybe is on Social Security or has a small pension or something to that effect generally is not in the 20, 30, 40, not 40% tax bracket, but either way, you know, whereas their kid who is still working probably is. And so it was almost like a way to kind of go backwards and say, hey, well, you deferred it at 15% when you were working. You were probably going to take it out at 10 or 15 in retirement. We got 20 out of you, right? And so I don't know that I love the system. It was agreed to. It's the rule. It's the law. So it is what it is. But there are things that you can do to try to circumvent that. You had talked a little bit when we were offline about Roth IRAs. So converting to those and how that can help. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I'd like to talk about that a little bit. But first, I'd like to talk about a couple of other problem areas that have cropped up within the beneficiary plan. If you have a beneficiary, a son, who's not necessarily fiscally responsible. Mm-hmm. Let's say he owes debts for his car or to the IRS or any other beneficiary or any other entity like that. If you roll that money over to your son in your estate, all of a sudden the IRS can say, oh, well, you owe us $60,000 in back taxes. Poof, that money is gone. If you have a special needs child that is your dependent and you have SSDI or some other dependent program because they have some special need, which could be something they got injured on the job, they got injured in the military, all kinds of special needs people. Mm-hmm. The problem is you leave them $60,000, all of a sudden that government agency that's paying his special needs could say, well, no, we aren't going to give you that $60,000, or we're going to take that $60,000 until you burn it down to zero. Then we'll come back and help you out.
Correct.
Again. So that money that you thought that you're going to roll over to the benefit of your handicapped or special needs dependent is gone.
Mm-hmm. We have a specific question in our financial planning questionnaire if you have a special needs child or grandchild, because sometimes people will forget, oh, well, if you know their son predeceases them and it ends up going to the grandchild through the beneficiary designation, it can still do that same thing. So we always want to be cognizant of that, and there are ways through estate planning to protect mm-hmm. against that, whether it's through like a special needs trust or something to that effect. Again, this is where having – I always call it a power team, right? You've got your estate planning attorney. You got your CPA, you got your financial planner, and a lot of times the financial planner is the quarterback to the group, right? We might not do the ugly work, right? A lot of times that's the CPAs. They deserve a lot more credit than they get. They're doing all the blocking, they're doing all the tackling, they're doing all that stuff, you know, and our role is a little bit more glamorous. So, you know, we get all the credit when it comes to that tax strategy, but really it should go to the CPAs. The CPAs. A good CPA is worth their weight in gold, because they would pick something like that out too, and they'd say, "Hey, you know, I know your grandson has special needs. Let's include that in there." Or, "Hey, you've talked to me about this before. I know your son is a doctor, or your daughter is a doctor, right, or a lawyer, or something to that effect, and they're probably making, let's say, $300,000-$400,000 a year. If this money moves over to them, you deferred it at 15% while you were working. They're going to pay 30 or 40% on it you know, tax wise. So I have one client right now who she's doing something pretty cool. What she's doing is her son is a high earner, right? Very high earner. And he lives in a state where, you know, the tax rates are a little higher. It might be to the west of us. So what she's doing is she's actually taking the tax hit herself because her tax rate is basically nil. She only has Social Security as far as an income. So what we've done is we've developed a strategy with her tax planner to have a certain amount come out of her IRA each year, move into her Roth IRA, so that when her son inherits it down the road, he inherits the entire thing tax-free. We'll get a little bit more into the beneficiary stuff here in just a minute. We do got to take a break. Again, this is Adrian Elder with Stan Gorley, 560 AM KBLU Money Talk.
Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being? If you've been questioning your investment plan that you have in place, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hegerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
All right, welcome back, Yuma. We are here in the morning doing some money talk on 560 AM KBLU. Adrian Elder here with Stan Gorley, and I always call this the Fun Federal Show. We don't do it all the time, although we do get a lot of really great feedback. Every time we do this show, we get a few call-ins from people saying, hey, I didn't know you guys did federal stuff. We totally do. We are, you know, as far as locally, we're probably the main place that focuses on federal employees. I am myself a federal retirement consultant, one of the very few in the nation, the only one in Southern Arizona. And again, our goal is to help federal employees plan for retirement and beyond. And so one of the things we were talking a little bit in the previous segment was over beneficiaries, but now we're getting a little bit more into the tax side of things. So we talked about a client that is converting all of her funds over to Roth IRA, and we didn't get a whole lot of depth in that. So I want to go back to that topic and talk to you about it a little bit more. Really, the idea is, and to explain what is a Roth IRA, right? A Roth IRA is a type of retirement account that is allowed through the IRS tax code. It's not an employer plan. It's owned by you as the individual, right? And the great part about it, we always say it's the best tax benefit the IRS gives you, is the money in the account grows completely and totally tax-free, as long as you meet a couple caveats, right? So the account has to be open for at least 5 years, which is a big one. And something that Stan had actually mentioned to me earlier was, you know, making sure that you have a Roth IRA open earlier than usual. Because let's say that you go to retire and you're 60 years old and you're like, hey, I want to open a Roth IRA. Well, you still have to wait 5 years from that. Even though you're over age 59 and a half, so you've covered the 59 and a half rule, you still have to wait the 5 years. So opening a Roth IRA, even if you just put a couple $100 in it, starts the clock at any point, right? So kind of a neat idea that you have out there. The funds from TSP, there is a Roth TSP that's available, right? So that you can contribute to that. And more we're seeing people do that. There was a very interesting law that came through recently where historically the employer has never been able to match an employee on the Roth side. Well, you now can for the first time in history. So if an employee is making Roth TSP contributions, the employer can match them on the Roth side, or Roth 401k, the employer can match them on the Roth side. Still a little sticky on how it all works, because the big issue was who pays the taxes, right, historically. But the IRS tax code has started to allow for that. So I wanted to kick it back to Stan and, you know, talk a little bit more about Roth IRAs, the taxation, and some ideas that, federal employees might be able to utilize in order to get some funds over to that more tax advantageous side.
I think the biggest thing, a decider that you have to make, well, to start with, I want to reemphasize that we said at the beginning, all active duty military that are in the blended retirement system participate in TSP. A portion of their retirement is going to be that TSP. The average military guy retires in his 40s. He's not going to see any TSP money until he's 59 and a half. I don't care what the guy in the office said. He's wrong. Look it up for yourself. Find out. So you can, all this stuff that we're talking about TSPs, pertains to all recent active duty military enlistees and officers that joined in the last 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, you can find out. The TSP money traditionally only went to a traditional IRA account. In other words, the taxes were paid. The advantage of that was that there was matching funds, and you want to maximize those matching funds. This change with the Roth IRA on the federal side, I still don't understand it yet, so I can't make any recommendations there. But one recommendation that I do make, I have a crib sheet that I use when I'm talking to new hires, is that when you make your TSP initial contributions, you should also open your own Roth IRA on the civilian side. Go down to an investment broker like Yuma Investment Group, and even if all you do is put the minimum down, which I think is about $1,000, and then usually $50 a month automatic, that opens it up. What that gives you is an address, a destination for your money, and you can have that as a rollover for your spouse. You can have that as a rollover address for your other beneficiaries, depending on who they are, what their age is, and all that kind of stuff. But when I was in active duty military, and then when I was in for on the federal service civilian side, all I had was a traditional IRA. That was, the taxes were deferred. In other words, I didn't pay any taxes till I took the money out. That sounded good at the time. Today, it doesn't sound good. And so what I'm doing today is I'm moving all my money slowly over time as I can afford it from traditional IRA to Roth IRA. What happens during that transition is I have to pay taxes. So if I'm moving $20,000 over, I'm going to have to set at least $5,000 to $7,000, $10,000 out to pay my taxes on. But now that money is in a Roth IRA in my name. While it earns money, I don't pay any taxes on it. If I leave that, if my wife and I pass on the way to Phoenix and it goes to my daughter and my son, they don't have to pay taxes on it. They have to take the money out within 10 years of getting it, but they don't pay any taxes because it's all Roth money. Mm-hmm. So it's something you have to do deliberately while you are alive. If you don't do it, it'll move as Roth, as traditional, and they will pay taxes, and they will lose somewhere around 30 to 40% of that savings, that money you put aside for them over time, over that 10-year period. I personally think that the federal government is relying on your kids, that your daughter and her husband have kids, their payments, their house payments and stuff, and they will slowly forget about that money sitting in your Roth IRA or in your TSP, your traditional IRA. And all of a sudden, 10 years goes by, which happens fast. From 0 to 10 for your grandchild is very short for the parents.
And you know what the penalty is if they don't take it out?
Oh, it's 50%, I think.
Well, it used to be they finally just backed it down a couple months ago to 25. But still, 25 is
That's
a huge
penalty. What's the taxes?
Right. On top of the taxation that
you
will still have to pay.
Over 50% of that money.
Correct.
between taxes and the penalty, mm-hmm. which I see the penalty to the federal government as another tax.
Yeah. So one of the things that you know, and I always kind of go back to this. I ask a question very commonly of people that are coming on board. We always ask, who's your accountant, right? And who's your estate planning attorney? And then I always ask one question. I say, who's your tax strategist? And they always kind of give like a blank deer in the headlights. And I'm like, well, that's what we're here for, right? So just to kind of give one neat one, and this maybe goes for some of the younger employees who have just started out. I give a really quick analogy to it, or example, I should say, that if you're getting a tax refund anyway, right? If you didn't put any money into TSP, would you still get a tax refund? And a lot of them say, yeah, I usually get $1,000, $2,000 back every year. Now, that probably should adjust their withholdings, you know, because that's not a great thing. But a lot of people like to do that. They like to get a tax refund. And so what I tell them is, when you're making contributions to your traditional TSP, all you're doing is increasing your refund and causing a much larger tax burden down the way. If you were going to get a refund anyway, why not just put money into your Roth TSP and now it's growing completely tax-free? When someone inherits it, when you need it in retirement, it comes out completely tax-free. If that 10 grand you put in turns into 100 grand, you pay zero tax on the $90,000 difference, right? You were going to get, does it really benefit you to, instead of getting a $2,000 refund, you got a $2,500 refund, right? And then you turn around in retirement and you kick yourself and you go, man, now I have required minimum distributions. And I'll tell you, from doing a lot of the financial plans in town for the federal employees, because they have the income, they don't from the pensions. And you'd be surprised. You'd be shocked how many federal employees marry other federal employees. It's a pretty common thing. And so they have two pensions and they have two social securities. And some of them work different levels of it, right? Especially the military side. So they'll work the military side, then they'll go to the civilian side. They'll have two different forms of pensions. They'll have a military pension and a FERS pension. Anyway, what I'm getting at is that they don't need the money from their TSP in retirement because their income meets their expenses. The problem with that is, from the tax deferred side, when they hit currently age 73, will soon be age 75, the IRS will start forcing you to take money out of it and get taxed on it. If it's
penalize
on the,
you if you don't.
And penalize you if you don't. Very, again, that's that 25% penalty that you can run into. So if you don't need it, right, and you don't need the tax benefit that you're going to get from it in reducing your current income for the year, Roth TSP is an excellent option that can be out there. Plus, guess what Roth TSP doesn't have?
No required minimum distribution.
Correct. Yes. No required minimum distributions. So if you don't need it, you can sit there between age 73 and let's say you live to 90. That's 17 more years that the money can grow tax-free and pass to your beneficiaries.
One element of that I did not know until today when I did some research online. When required minimum distribution is calculated by your broker for your investments in your Roth IRA, I'm sorry, in your traditional IRA, they use a chart. And let's say you got $500,000 in that account. It's just a number. Well, their chart says you would owe the federal government $28,000 total in taxes on that. But if you use TSP, in other words, if you left that traditional IRA money in TSP, which the federal employee is allowed to do, it's $53,000. Can you afford that kind of money going to Uncle Sam rather than staying in your traditional IRA?
Here's one other, and this is a really important point. As a CFP, I'm actually liable for the taxes, right? So let's say that Stan is my client. He's not, but just for the example, let's say Stan is my client, and it gets to the end of the year towards December 31st, and Stan has not taken his RMD. I have to call him, be like, Stan, we got to get this set up. It has to go out, because if Stan doesn't take his RMD by the end of the year, I can be held liable for the taxes that he would have had to pay, right? Whereas in thrift savings, the issue is that not only are they not responsible for it, right? They really don't even, they give you a small notification and say, oh, hey, Stan, by the way, you got to take them this year. But it's your job to go out, figure out what the number is, right? Make sure you take it out. It's just a little bit hands off in the situation, which we think you should be more hands on. We do have to take a break. This is our final break. We're going to come back 560 AM KBLU. This is Money Talk. Thank you.
Longer productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
This is Derek Hegerberg, branch manager with Guild Mortgage, NMLS number 180899. Thank you for making us Yuma's best mortgage lender 7 years in a row. At Guild Mortgage, we're more than just a lender. We're your trusted guide through the home buying journey. We do offer educational workshops for first-time home buyers, credit and budgeting, and also real estate investing. We proudly serve your friends, family, and neighbors, answering questions and finding lending solutions. How may we serve you today? Give us a call at 928-247-9089 or visit guildyuma.com.
All right, that might be my favorite song to come back to. This is Adrian Elder, 560 AM KBLU. We're here on Money Talk with Stan Gourley, our local major master representative for NARF, the National Association. Oh, I always get this wrong. National Active Retired Federal Employees. All right, so we're talking TSP. We're talking FERS and SERS and all kinds of stuff today on the Fun Federal Show. We just got done talking a little bit about the taxation that applies there. We've talked beneficiaries. One thing I did want to bring up, though, when it comes to the beneficiaries and why it's so important to have that estate planning side of things is that sometimes you have, you know, and Stan brought it up a little bit earlier, maybe you got a kid that's not the most responsible, right? Again, if it goes into a trust, you have to know that there are some taxation issues you might run into, but you're also able to dial things out a little bit more. You know, again, I have a client who has three kids. Two of the kids get their money outright. The third kid, basically one of the three kids is in charge of making sure that the third kid gets their rent paid every month and they have food and they have all that type of stuff. But they don't. The third kid doesn't get their money right away. In a IRA or any individual retirement account, Roth IRA, things like that, that you own, there's some beneficiary designations you can use that actually go to another layer. They're Latin terms, which we don't love to use, and one of them sounds terrible, but pro rata and per stirpes. And so, yeah, I didn't say the word you think I said there. But those things allow for a deeper designation. So pro rata is what we always call last one standing, right? So let's say Stan and I are brothers and we're going to inherit an IRA from our dad. Well, Stan passes away. He's in the car with dad when something happens, right? Everything would go to me. Under the per stirpes designation, if that same situation happens, Stan's portion would go to his bloodline, right? I would not get that portion as the pro rata. And that's something that you can go a little bit deeper on when it comes to beneficiaries.
Well, it's kind of funny in that I think in the TSP language, they call a contingent beneficiary. Mm-hmm. So if I left my son as a beneficiary and he has a son, my grandson, and if I had listed my grandson as my contingent beneficiary and then I die, but then my son dies before he gets the money, it won't go to my contingent beneficiary because of that title. It'll go to my daughter, all of it, until she dies, and then my contingency beneficiary may get that last portion. It's very, very fuzzy. As an example, my mom left her estate into quarters, four beneficiaries, one of which was my brother. He didn't last until he was received his distribution. Because he died, his son would not necessarily get that money because there were still other primary beneficiaries still alive. Until they were all gone, then the contingency beneficiaries might receive a portion of the estate. It gets real fuzzy.
Yeah.
The way around that could be is that I would leave my son as a primary beneficiary along with my daughter, but then my son would make his son, my grandson, his primary beneficiary. Then it would, if my son dies, it would go direct to my grandson. Mm-hmm. But if I left it as a contingency beneficiary, that would hang around until the other primary beneficiaries have all died before it would go to the contingent beneficiary. It's fuzzy as hell.
And that's where, you know, in that Roth IRA, IRA situation, it's made so much easier by having those separate pro rata per stirpes designations that you can make. And you can make a different one for every kid. You know, I can be pro rata, Stan can be per stirpes, and the third son can be pro rata again, right? And so it helps just go deeper dive on it. Again, it always comes down to having a professional to bounce questions off and say, is this really the best way to do this? Or do I need a special needs trust involved? Or do I need, you know, should we have the Roth IRA? One of the things that, and this comes up quite often, we'll have a person will go get a trust. And we had this happen a while back, and I got an email from she's actually more of a document preparer. But either way, it said something to the effect of, All assets need to go into the trust. Move all assets into the trust. Well, that's not planning, right? Because that's great if it's a Roth IRA or a non-retirement account. And even still, the Roth IRA, I would rather just inherit it straight out than have to mess with the trust, right? Because it's going to be tax-free either way. But making sure that when you get certain advice like that, always good to have two people to bounce it off of. Because I then went back to the person. I was like, well, is that really what we want to do? Because the tax deferred items would be taxed at 32% as long as the trust makes over $14,000, which is not difficult to do by any means. And so came back and she went back to the client and said, no, never mind. You know, put the non-retirement accounts in the trust. We'll put the house in the trust, but we're going to keep the beneficiaries for the IRA, Roth IRA, and the work account as they are.
I would absolutely agree with that. When I've had to deal with three different estates over the last few years, which is a bad sign, I guess I'm getting old. But the thing is a beneficiary assignment to a pot of money, whether it's an investment account or a checking account or an IRA account or a Roth IRA, has certain benefits rather than leaving it to a will. Mm-hmm. When my mom passed, she was old school. She put everything in the will. Took 2 years to resolve all of that. But if she had just done beneficiary documents and then whatever happened to be left, which was very little, went into a will, that'd be fine. But when she was 96 when she passed, well, a will was great for her mom and dad. I mean, it worked that way, but not anymore. Mm-mm. But since that time, I've gone and redone the will. We talked to Tom, got information from you, got information from George and others. And my recommendation is, and it I'd like your input on this, how frequently should a retiree who has an estate of that varies, a house, some personal property, and some investment properties, whatever, you know, the combination of IRAs, the annuities, they all die, basically. Mm-hmm. But everything else has to be left in some way. But conditions change. The state changes. Nowadays, if you have real property, there's a document similar to a beneficiary upon death in Arizona and in Alaska where I've got some land. It is definitely a beneficiary upon death. That's the title on the form, but not in Arizona. And you have to do every state separate.
Correct.
So what I thought was necessary when my mom passed, after she passed, learned lessons learned, we went and looked at our will. Mm-hmm. That will went from two six-page documents, one for me, one for my wife, that basically said the reverse of each other. We now have our will file, what I would consider the will file, but our estate file, let's call it the estate file, now has power of attorneys and medical power of attorneys and what's that document they call when you pull the plug? And
medical directive.
Yeah. And my mom died. She wanted to be cremated, but it wasn't written in any form.
Mm-hmm.
We had to go through a nut roll to have a New Jersey form filled out to get her cremated. In the meantime, she's sitting in the refrigerator someplace.
Yes. So to answer your question, the response I would always give to that is when something fundamentally changes, you change your state of residence, one of your trustees passes away, which happens very often. You'd be surprised. And my dad is my trustee. You know, eventually one of my kids will be, but they need to be quite a bit older. When something fundamentally changes, if you have one of your children, one of your beneficiaries passes away or becomes incapacitated or something to that effect, or the executor, right? Any of those things. So there's not necessarily a time frame of when. I would say every about 5 years you could relook at it. But fundamentally, the answer to the question is whenever something fundamentally changes, right? If nothing has fundamentally changed, you live in the same house, same state, all the kids are alive, executor, trustee are alive,
same spouse,
all that type of stuff. You know, it's probably not necessary to look at that the trust consistently. But one thing I really want to point out, and this actually came up yesterday during a financial plan, I have a client, actually former federal employee, who they have a blended family, right? So they got married a little bit later in life. He had a couple kids. She has a couple kids. And what they put in their will was that everything gets split 50-50. Now, keep in mind, the only thing really truly governed under this will as far as an asset is their house, because everything else they have, and it's very substantial, you know, millions and millions of dollars, is in thrift savings plan. It's in IRAs. It's in 401ks, 403bs, bank accounts. And so I have to be very clear, when you have that stuff, the highest ranking legal document 100% is the beneficiary form. So your ironclad $8,000 trust can say everything gets split between the kids. But if your beneficiary form says everything goes to little Johnny, everything goes to little Johnny. It's not going to get contested. And if you do, it's not going to win because that beneficiary form is very black and white. If it says it goes to your ex-wife, it goes to your ex-wife.
Or
so
if
it's
forget to change.
That's
beneficiary
right.
On a I know a guy died in an aircraft accident. His ex-wife that he failed to take off
correct.
Of his life insurance got the $300,000 life insurance.
And it is what it is. It's black and white. It's not going to change. So what I said to them was, you need to sit down, and because you've got umpteen different accounts at, you know, five different places, banks and investment firms and things like that. You want to sit down. You want to put all those on the table and say, okay, the beneficiaries to this one are these people. The thrift savings plan, fully taxable. The bank accounts, not taxable at all. So if one inherits one and one inherits the other, that's not really fair. It's not really equal because you're paying tax on this side. So it's really important that you sit down with professionals, have attend meetings, go to NARF, read the magazine, go on, you know, your total compensation statement. Make sure you look that up. I'm shoehorning things in the last 30 seconds. But have a professional like myself or someone like me, certified financial planner, federal retirement consultant, have your tax planner, have your estate planner, have those people coordinate. Might not be the best idea to have them all be the same person, right? Inherent conflict of interest there. Hopefully this was helpful. We tried really hard to get through as much as we could today. We'll be back at some point. Stan and I love doing this for the Fun Federal Show. We thank you for being with us today on 560 AM KBLU. This was Money Talk. Thank you so much for being here, Stan.
Thanks a lot. And October the 7th at the Golden Corral, 11:30. If you have any questions, just come on by and ask.
The opinions voiced in Money Talk with Tom Rush and George Davis Wealth are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine what may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial or tax advisor prior to investing. Guests on Money Talk are not affiliated with CWM LLC. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC and SEC Registered Investment Advisor.
This is News Talk 560 KBLU, Yuma.